This is the So You Talk to Cows podcast, a podcast for current and aspiring agricultural communicators. I'm Erica Earlbeck. This week's guest is someone that embodies agricultural communications and has been a mainstay in our professional conferences for years. Her event planning skills are the best in the business. If you've ever been to Ag Media Summit, you have experienced an event planned by her. I've long admired her for her polish and professionalism. The industry has noticed her talents as well. In 2018, the Livestock Publications Council recognized her with the Ed Bible Distinguished Service Award, and in just a few days, she will be inducted into the Livestock Publications Council Hall of Fame at Ag Media Summit. I give you all the fabulous Diane Johnson. Welcome, Diane. I'm so happy you're here today. So let's just start with you giving us your background and history.
Well, I was raised in Kansas and graduated from Kansas State in 1985. My degree was animal science with a communications option. And I always was involved in, you know, 4-H activities and Junior Hereford Association, Junior Livestock Association. And I think as a result of those, it gave me experience with what I do now. But let me jump to in between. So my first job was in San Antonio. I worked for the International Brangus Breeders Association and the Brangus Journal, and immediately started traveling a lot and was kind of just, you know, then all of a sudden I'm taking, you know, sale cattle pictures. And, you know, I was thrown into the fire right away. And then I also not only did writing and editorial, but then also sold ads. So I was, I mean, low man on the totem pole, but did the whole thing. And that was back when that breed was really, 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 really going strong. And so it was, there was always an entertainer before, after every sale. And we didn't care about the sale. We just wanted to know who the entertainer was going to be. We had Donnie and Marie and Ronnie Millsap. Yeah, these were
big
time. So that was, I was back in a different world of the cattle industry. And so then I was just there a couple of years, and then I got a call from the Texas Hereford Association to see if I would be interested in becoming editor of the magazine. And since my background was in Hereford, you know, it was a natural fit, and a lot of the members I already knew. And so I moved to Fort Worth in 1987 and have been here ever since. And I was there a little over 4 years. And then a friend of mine, Julie McMahon, she and I started from scratch an ad agency. It was called Creative Exchange. We were in the stockyards of Fort Worth, so it was, you know, already a hop in place, but it was a really fun experience. And that was when we were doing, the Macintosh computer, the desktop publishing was just coming out, and we actually processed our own film and the CMYK, and we'd rush it off for ads. We'd rush it to FedEx. We knew exactly when the last plane took off from DFW, and it was at 10:30 at night. I mean, we really did a lot more than I realized that we would get into it. In fact, that was the first time I'd ever worked on a Macintosh computer. So from there, then there was another agency called Access Creative, and I worked for them for a couple of years. But I had a very strange setup with them in that I was an account executive, but I was also doing a lot of the actual, maybe the design, it got to be where it was easier for me to do everything rather have it go through the process that an agency wants you to have. You know, you take it to production, then you do this and you do that. And so after a couple of years, I was really good friends with, and still am to this day. In December of 97, I realized that I could do it on my own. And so I bought my desk and computer from the owner who owned the building, and then I was an agency within an agency, and I stayed in that building for almost 20 years.
Wow.
And so that's when I started Details by Design. And 1 year into it is when I took on the task of being executive director of Livestock Publications Council. And then that led into Ag Media Summit. It led into, you know, doing workshops. And so really my company started doing a lot of cattle catalogs, typing pedigrees. That's when you had to type the pedigrees, like registration numbers and everything. And so I mean, you'd be up till 3 a.m. and it just wasn't as automated as it is now. But anyway, so I then, as I became executive director, I did so much event planning. So my company switched from doing advertising and marketing and event planning to event planning and advertising and marketing is what I do, what I consider myself doing right now. And so I'm into whatever that number is, 25 years on my own, never had a marketing plan, never. I've just fallen into it. And it's worked out quite well.
So that's great.
I've been very fortunate and had incredible support from my network. And with most of it being agriculture based, that's what I'm real proud of, is that I can count on the agriculture people to be that, you know, solid, they pay on time. You don't have to worry about anything along that line. So I've been in this industry in general all my life, which would be ag marketing. So
yeah. So in this season of the podcast, so for the summer grouping of my podcast, we're talking about jobs and internships, and that's what a lot of my focus is. And so we're focusing a lot on professionalism, and you are always so poised and put together, and I know that you've been trained to teach etiquette and other professional skills. So how would you describe professionalism, or put it a little bit differently, how can people work to come across more professional?
Well, and I thought about that. There's a saying that says that class, I have it written down so I don't mess it up, but that class is what people do when no one is looking. Mm. And I went to the grocery store yesterday, it's Sunday, you know, I don't have to put on every stitch of makeup and all, but I thought, you know, what if I run into somebody that I know? And I oftentimes do, even though I live in Fort Worth, I mean, it's very common to run into somebody you know. And I think that I just have such a habit of making sure I am put together to a degree. I mean, not every minute of every day. But I think if you get into the habit of always, I want to say having your act together, but professionalism should be something you just practice all the time. And that has to do with the way you carry yourself, again, your appearance. The way you treat other people, listen, you know, learn how to have a conversation, know what's going on in the world, so that at any point, you don't know what you're going to be in. I had a dinner the other night, I didn't know anybody at the table, but we were able to, you know, talk about current events or what we did last summer or whatever. But professionalism is, it's not only your appearance by any means, but it's also being on time. If you say you're going to do something, you're going to follow through. You don't make up excuses for things that you didn't get done or that you probably one of the pet peeves I have, and I guess this goes into professionalism, is people just saying they're going to do something and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no follow through. Everything from voicemail messages to email messages. Another thing I teach is to train your people. And what I mean by that is if you, like with a email, let them know that you are going to respond within a certain amount of time, 24 hours, or that's just your own policy, and respond. And with voicemails, if your technique is to, you know, if I call you and you see it was a missed call, well, call me back. I personally don't like that, because I would rather you go ahead and leave me a message. Let me listen to it. I'll take care of it, whatever it is. Maybe you need some information. If we're going to play phone tag, then we're just wasting time. So another thing, I have a dear friend who complains about how many emails she gets. My thought on that is, are you answering their questions in that email? If you're getting an email and they need something from you, are you answering their question, or are they having to follow back up because you didn't explain something? So I think there's just a lot of wasted time of not communicating correctly. And those are just a couple of things that, you know, fit into the professionalism umbrella, if you will.
So another one of your skills is that you are an excellent event and conference planner. So what are some things that you do in the conference planning, or even event in the planning phase, that you do on the front end so that everything goes smoothly when the event happens?
Be extremely organized. Know what you want the event to be like. I mean, how do you want people to feel when they're there, and when they have just spent X number of dollars? Have you given them enough education, fun, food, so that when they leave, that they're like, that meeting was worth it? One thing that I just this is a very minute thing, but to me it's big, is that when you're doing an event, your lighting and music are two things that should always be taken into consideration. Have music going on in the room before people come into the room, or the lighting, having it the right, especially in evening events. Also just knowing your audience. That is one thing, like with Ag Media Summit, I knew that audience very well. I knew what they liked. But I also worked with them for a very long time. But I think being organized, color coding. When I would do my all my plans, like AV was in blue, food was in green, and it seemed a little over the top, but it made me comfortable when I looked at that document and I could jump to it. Mm-hmm. Also, know your person that you're working with at the place, you know, whether it's a hotel, convention center, whatever. Get to know that person very well and have very open communication with them. I had an experience once where I went and did a site visit and then went through all the details of the convention. We sat down, he took notes, and the next day I called back. I was home and I called back and I said, you know, I can't remember now what his name was, doesn't matter, Phil. Let's say his name is Phil. And I said, is Phil there? I'm sorry, he doesn't work here anymore.
No.
I was just speechless. I said, I was just there yesterday. So you're going to have things like that can happen. But that, like I said, if you get to know your hotel contact, I could tell stories on the different things that happened through the years that would make your toes curl.
I don't know what I would do. I would go into a tailspin.
That's another thing, working with hotels, for anybody who wants to get into the event planning and work with hotels, expect that to a degree. Many, many times, depending on how far out you plan a meeting, I would go through two or three salespeople, not usually the event person on site, but because they are notorious for moving around. Mm-hmm. And so you just get to knowing your salesperson. I bet that happened to me with Ag Media Summit. In 21 years, I would say that might have happened at least 10 times. Oh my gosh. I'd just wait for the call and they go, well, yeah, I'm going to be going down to the Hyatt and I'm at the Marriott. Just, it's the nature of event planning. It's the nature of the hotel business. True. But it's something to be accepted.
Yeah. So what do you do during the event? So everything has started. What do you do to at least give the appearance that everything is going well?
Well, my big joke is, you know, I try and go early to whatever event it is so that when there's nobody else around, no attendees, maybe some staff or volunteers are there, but the attendees aren't there, so that when they start to get there, everything is ready. And so what happens is I can have it perfect. And then the attendees come and that's when the problems start. You know, maybe their registration isn't right or their hotel, and So you have got to have everything put together before that first attendee gets there. And then during it, it's, you know, especially in some cases, you're not the star of the show. It's the president or the honorees. And so you don't want to be the one who's running up and down the halls looking like a panic, you know, that there's something going wrong. And there's that duck syndrome, you know, you're going smooth on top and paddling like hell underneath. And there is a lot to that. And to watching, this is one thing I trained or when I had interns, because the staff I used for years knew, you do not let them see your face if you're panicked. You never would have somebody come up and ask a question and it's stupid, and then you roll your eyes as they walk away because somebody else might be watching you. And I've seen that happen, and you just act like that person asked the most intelligent question you've ever heard, and you can discuss it later with your staff about how stupid it was. But so I think it's just having everything organized before they get there and allowing enough time. You can't set up 200 bags with 20 pieces of information or ink pens or whatever that has to go in there. You can't do that in an hour, and you need to have plenty of people to help you too.
I'm going to ask you an unscripted question here. As far as like working with hotels and convention centers, what are some of those things? I think I heard you talking about one time, like requesting that they have extra staff at the front desk when you know that your people are going to be coming in. What are some other little things like that? Little quirks that are just really unique to the convention center industry that you've learned over the years?
Yes. If I walk into that lobby and I see even 10 people waiting in line, that just drives me nuts. Especially when there's only one hotel person. And especially when I've told them this is our heavy arrival time. There was one time I called my person on a Sunday and said, you've got 20 people standing in line here. I need help. And he wasn't even on site. So yeah, anticipating. As far as food, I always look at if there's a buffet line, I go in there like 15 minutes ahead of time, make sure that it's the right food and that it's the pans of food are in the chafers. But I always check to see the food. Another funny thing happened last year. Yeah, New Orleans at the Hotel Monteleone. So this, you know, 4 or 5 star hotel. I went in and checked the room and they had the table set wrong. They had the, is this a, you know, is this going to make or break the event? Yes and no. I'm at a very high-end hotel and they have the bread plates in the wrong place. Mm. And again, but I walked over and I went and got the banquet manager and I said, these tables aren't even set correctly. It was a high-end event and there would have been some people who would have noticed. Mm. Again, is it a make or break the event? No, but those are just little things that you go and you double check. Knowing that the correct rooms are set up right, you know, that because a lot of times you make a change in the room set, not necessarily room sets, but maybe I would send my requirements in about 30 days ahead. Well, 10 days ahead, we might have had this boon of people who've signed up and now I've got a room that only holds 30 because I didn't think anybody'd be interested in that session. I've got 90 people signed up for it. Well, so I make the change, but then did it get into the hotel's changes? Did it make it through the whole process? And that is a lot to do with your hotel people. Things that you can't change, there's really only one and that's the weather. I did make some notes. Don't fly to Florida in the summer to try and make it to an evening party because it's going to rain in the storm. You know, there are things with travel, and it's just like in January, you're going to Minneapolis, or Buffalo, because there's going to be snow. And so don't cut it too close on the on your timing. I also have it down in my notes. It said, bring a gift to your people. Bring a little sussy. Just every year I would put together maybe a little bag of treats that, and it ranged from, you know, maybe a bottle of hairspray and, you know, just little things. And then I always would try and bring some sort of food item to my event manager there at the hotel. You want to start out on a very positive note. Yeah, bring gifts. Depending on the size of the event, but you probably always want to have a pre-con, so a pre-convention meeting. Sometimes you'll do a post-convention. And one little note, when I first started in the business, I thought that pre-con was pretty cool. I thought, man, all these people are coming in here and you might have 25 staffers and they're, you walk in and they all stand up and then you get, they put special pins on you to identify. And I started realizing through the years that I was just dragging down these people's productivity. I didn't need the mailman in there or the man, you know, who runs the shipping or the mail room. Uh-huh. Or there were just so many. So I would cut it down, or I would tell my person, my, you know, event manager, I say, just, you know, they can come in for a little bit, but please don't have them think that they have to stay in there. So I really cut my pre-con meetings down to just the bare bones of who I was really going to be working with, which is your your most important, or your front desk manager, your banquets manager, your AV, accounting to a degree. And that's your main people that you are going to have the most interaction with. So, okay. So I did. And then again, you know, you walk in the room, they've got all these cookies set and cokes and drinks and everything. And not one person touches any of it. So I just would give them a break and say, hey, you don't need to do that for me. We just don't need that. So that's a proactive thing from a meeting planner's perspective.
Do you ever, I've never seen you, you know, because I've gone to Ag Media Summit a lot, and I've never seen you nervous or frustrated or mildly flustered. How do you maintain that calm?
Well, let me give you a little instance. It's probably one of the biggest faux pas that I made was in 2009. It was here in Fort Worth, and it was when that we hosted the International Federation of Ag Journalists. And I did not plan for all of the students.
Oh, yeah.
To eat.
I was there.
Yeah. And so I was about 80 short. Now, it's one thing to be 8 short, but I was about 80 short in plates of, you know, food. And my board broke into high gear, and we somehow just, I just told him, I said, just look like you're calm. Just help me get these plates clean. You know, we did it. It's all in the look in your face. You cannot show how frustrated you might be, or you just, I don't know. It's a style, and the opposite is not fun to see when you see people throwing a shoe that something's not going their way. That was probably one of the worst panic attacks I had, and I did keep it together, but boy, I was frustrated, and it was my own fault. I mean, it wasn't anybody else, but it was just my own fault.
And that's the worst. But yeah, like I remember that. It was just, I just remember being very confused. But yeah, you never looked upset or frustrated or anything. You just came in and apologized. Yeah.
And then we bought pizza for the kids and ice cream. And I remember at some point, one of them said, we don't need anything else. We're fine. And so they didn't even think about it and being a, because we did ask them to leave. We said, we're going to have to get you to this other room and we're going to buy you. Yeah. But I do remember one going, it's all right.
Stop eating, please.
I remember that.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that that you wanted to talk about, or anything else that we need to know as far as professionalism, event planning, or anything like that goes?
Yeah, I think one piece of advice for young people right now, when I say young, I'm talking 40 and under. I worked with a bank, big 1,200 person banquet this past March, and had the company itself had probably 15 interns because it was a multi-day convention. And I was assigned 3 or 4. And then as others could help, they were to come in and help me with the setup. And a couple of them just would say, "I'm just so tired." Oh, and I thought, okay, enough. I'm almost 60 years old and I'm running circles around you. So as young people, do not either get more sleep or don't tell people how tired you are. In this year, it is exhausting. You are going to be up late. You're going to be up early, but don't talk about how tired you are. So, but it's a wonderful, you know, the event, being an event planner, it's not for everyone. I've seen some people who've been thrown into it because their manager or boss, you know, needed help, and it just doesn't always work. And then I think also to ask questions. I had an intern once who I didn't realize she didn't know how to work Excel, and she just totally botched up this whole, it was addresses. And when I went and asked her how she was doing, and she showed it to me, and I said, "Oh no." I said, "What have we done?" I said, "Do you know how to work in Excel?" And she goes, "No." She'd been working on this for like 6 hours and never told me that she didn't know how to work in Excel. Okay. So ask questions, admit if you don't know how to do something. Oh my word. You know, I do a lot of work, you know, at our multi purpose, our Dickies Arena. And there are times when I'm going, "I don't even know how to do this." And so I ask questions. Mm-hmm. That's probably a bigger thing than you realize, because people just assume you know how to do it, and people are willing to help you, because it's all, hopefully it's always a team effort, and there's no issues with that. So
yeah, and you can't know everything, so it's okay if you don't know something.
No. And be willing to teach other people too, the correct way. Yeah, we never stop learning.
Exactly. So I have a lightning round of questions. So it's just quick, quick, easy questions with a quick, fun answer to them. So question number one, what is your pet peeve in event planning?
I'm so tired. That would be it. Yeah. Don't tell me how tired you are.
Okay, I don't want to hear it. Number two. What you travel a lot. What is a tip that you have for packing for travel?
Pack, then take half of it out. because you aren't going to use every pair of shoes that you take. I have not traveled. I have not packed checked a bag in over a year and a half. And it's because you just don't wear as many clothes as you think you're going to. So travel, and then be organized. Know where your passport, your driver's license, your whatever is before you get to the airport, so that you have it with you. That's.
What do you wish you were good at?
Maybe sometimes maybe my patience with, you know, you've asked somebody to do something like 5 times, and waiting and waiting and waiting can be sometimes a little bit annoying when you're trying to make progress. So
yeah,
lots of my patience.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's probably one of my things. Yeah. But what's something that people don't know about you but are surprised to learn?
It's personal, it doesn't bother me, but that I've never gotten married. Mm-hmm. Always had my career in front of me, and when I when I got to be a certain age, I went, you know what, my life's pretty good. And I mean, I have plenty of men friends. I have plenty of, well, I shouldn't say I have plenty of friends. You can always have more friends, but I have had some wonderful relationships, and you know, it's just never been something that was a priority for me. So that's definitely something when people who don't know me find out that I've never married, I've been engaged a couple times, but that is definitely something that surprises a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then last question, what do you wish 20-year-old Diane would have known?
To enjoy doing accounting. that's part of the problem with being creative, having a creative side and then the numbers side. I wish I would have hired an accountant or a bookkeeper at the very beginning, because it drags me down tremendously, and I have to reward myself if I've gotten all my accounting in, and then just the evolution of QuickBooks and the way it's changed too makes it much more difficult. So I probably, and they do say that when you start a business, you should always have a bookkeeper or an accountant. And that's probably just something that drags me down, that when you're on a creative role and then to have to think about that, it really, it's a pain.
You know, it's funny, a lot of creatives say that accounting and bookkeeping is their weakness too. So with that, we'll wrap it up. Thank you so much, Diane. Your advice and insight are always valued. And again, if you're attending Ag Media Summit, be sure to congratulate Diane for her induction into the LPC Hall of Fame. I'll be at Ag Media Summit too, and we'll have flyers available for my upcoming textbook, The Crisis Communications Guide for Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources, available in August through Xanadu Press. Find out more at xanadu.com. That's xanedu.com/So You Talk to Cows. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back with a new episode next week.